You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
One of our favorite guests, because he always tells us things, he makes us smarter, he's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks, also host of the Move the Sticks podcast. He'll be on the main set with the big boys tonight in Cleveland for the first round tonight, starting at 8 Eastern. Let's start with the poll question here. Give me the headline tomorrow that we'll be talking about. What the Niners did, what the Falcons did, where Justin Fields goes, what the Patriots did, or a big trade. Where are you going to go?
I'll say, Dan, I'm going to say it's obviously going to be quarterback related. I'll say it ends up being a trade, not for one of those first guys. I think we could get a little bit of a surprise with three because I still don't. You know, I'm still not convinced it's Mac Jones. Everything in I hear says Mac Jones. Everything in my gut says Trey Lance. So I don't think that's decided yet. But I think what could end up being the big storyline is whichever one of those fifth quarterbacks starts to drop a little bit, who's going to be the team that goes to get him?
What team do you think would be most in play to go after if it's Trey Lance who falls or Justin Fields?
To me, I know everybody's looking at New England. I think that's a possibility. I still think Washington not having their long-term guy. They've got Fitzy right now, but trying to find that next guy to be the long-term guy, that to me is just a logical one that you could see them be aggressive. Chicago, there's the need, but man, they got to win right now. They're in survival mode, so I don't know necessarily that points to them, you know, making that type of a jump. And to be honest with you, if I'm the president of the Bears, the owner of the Bears, I'm not so sure I want a regime that's on a little shaky ground parting with a bunch of future picks for the next guys I might have to bring in. So that, to me, I don't think it points to the Bears.
I don't see New England moving up. A source said to me this morning, they're not moving up to four, but
no.
If something starts to creep down a little bit, then, you know, Belichick might pounce on that a little bit. Do you rule out the Steelers being involved in any of this, you know, given, you know, Ben's sort of fragility here?
I wouldn't, and I wouldn't rule out the Saints either. I know they've got a couple in-house options there with that they're looking at, but if, like, to me, if Trey Lance were to drift a little bit, I could see Sean Payton saying, let's do it, man. Let's get bold and aggressive and go up there and go get him. So, there's kind of like those different layers of teams. There's the teams, you know, 15 to 20, and then you get to the teams kind of towards the back end. It's a long way to travel. It's going to be very expensive, for those teams, but the good news is, you're picking at the bottom of the first round. You're Mike Tomlin. You're Sean Payton. You're not going anywhere. You've got time to let this thing grow and develop here. So that could lead to a bold move.
What will happen? What should happen at three? Let's start there.
I think they should take Trey Lance. I've been saying that for a long time. I think it allows them to play 11 on 11 with incorporating him in the run game. I think Kyle, with his creativity, I would think that would tap into that. I think that, and look, Mac Jones is a good player. I always, you know, feel like you're trying to take down Mac Jones. He's a good player, but I like Trey Lance's chances of narrowing that accuracy gap with Mac Jones a lot more than Mac Jones's chances of narrowing the athleticism gap with Trey Lance. So I think Trey's going to get there. He's got some mechanical things he needs to clean up. I know he hasn't made a lot of starts, Dan. I know the lower level. I know all the knocks. I've spent time with this kid. I've been around him. I've talked to all the teams that have interviewed him. He's brilliant. He's not like, oh, he's football smart. He's smart, smart. And so to me, when you have all those traits and you're highly intelligent, that reminds me of Josh Allen. That reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. They didn't have it figured out when they walked into the NFL, but they had all the ability and they were incredibly intelligent.
Okay, but you used to be an NFL scout for a couple of teams.
Yeah.
Let's say you're with the Niners and you're talking to Kyle Shanahan. Now he's making the choice. How do you convince the boss that he's wrong?
I think you do it in a creative fashion. You want to role play it here for a second, Dan?
Okay. All right. Hey, Kyle. What's up? What's up, Dan? What do you got? Last call here.
You know, I was just thinking about, you know, the best advantage we have in our organization, Kyle, it's your brain. God, I mean, you're so smart and so creative. If only there was a quarterback out there that would allow you to explore some new areas in your offense to give us a schematic advantage and match that with the physical skill set. Man, I'm trying to rack my brain to see if I could find somebody that might just be big and strong and, you know, could really grow and develop. And you could take this offense, which is already really good, to a whole new place. That would be, wow, Kyle, if you could think of anybody like that, I'm at a loss. I couldn't come up with anybody.
Yeah, but look, I'm looking at Mac because Mac is accurate. You know, he throws people open. He's going to follow my game plan. You know, I don't have to worry about him sort of stretching things. He has more athleticism than people give him credit for. What are the two things I want in a quarterback, Daniel? You know, I want accuracy, and you know, I want somebody who's really sharp, who's going to in real time process the information.
No, Kyle, I hear you on that, and that's the way it's been. And I just would let's flash back a little bit to two times you were standing on the sidelines in the Super Bowl. There was one play you had the lead, and your quarterback had a free rusher come at him, and he couldn't get away from him. He took a sack. You end up out of field goal range. You end up losing a Super Bowl. And then there was this other Super Bowl where this other quarterback scrambled around for about 10 seconds and made some unbelievable throw. And man, that's you've got five fingers. Two of them would have rings on them right now. If you had a guy that could move around and do those types of things. So let's go try and find that guy.
Daniel, it's a little too soon to bring up the two Super Bowls that I lost here. Thanks for your input, and good luck with your new team or when you go to the NFL Network.
You started off well.
Yes, it did. Kyle Pitts feels like he's being set up for failure here. Like, I know he's got all this talent, but I don't know if he's the next Vernon Davis or not, but like we look at him and we go, oh my God, like he can't miss, but guys miss, Daniel.
Yeah, I hear you, Dan, but there's some guys where you just kind of get that feeling. And when Quentin Nelson was coming out, it was like, I said it at the time, he's the best blocker, like the best run blocker that I've ever evaluated. I'd never seen anybody do what he did in the run game, just dominated people. I know it wasn't a sexy position, but it was like, okay, if we're going to say likely Hall of Famers, he would be the one you would pin it to, because you just don't see it. I mean, you watch hundreds of players every year, Dan, and then every now and then there's a one guy that just looks different.
Well,
and
my source said, you know, Daniel, going into the draft, he goes, nobody's going to care about this. Quentin Nelson is the best player in this draft.
Yeah,
and he goes, but nobody cares about an offensive lineman, but you'll be talking about him as a Hall of Famer. And I remember mentioning it on the air, like nobody cares about Quentin Nelson except for the quarterback who has Quentin Nelson blocking for him.
Yeah, I almost want to even say from a TV standpoint, the pick is in. It's Quentin Nelson. Go to break.
Yeah, that's a buzzkill. Okay, what should the Falcons do at 4?
We'll see what happens with the quarterbacks. I would take a quarterback. To me, I think if you feel like you can chase a championship for what's left of Matt Ryan's career, then take the tight end.
But what if Trey Lance is not there, Daniel? What if the Niners take Trey Lance?
I would prefer Trey over Fields. I would still take Justin Fields if I were the Falcons.
And tell this audience, being a scout, like what are we missing on Justin Fields? Because if we look at everything, factor in everything,
yeah,
there's something missing here.
Yeah, he's incredibly talented, Dan. And I have four quarterbacks in my top eight players in the draft. So to me, I think sometimes I keep getting this question, what's wrong with Justin Fields? And I'm like, it's actually more kind of what's right with some of these other guys too. It's not what's wrong with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is very gifted. The difference to me, like, Trey Lance and Justin Fields is they're touching each other on my sequence list. They're right next to each other. I gave Trey Lance the nod because I thought he was a better decision maker. I thought he played with more urgency, and that's urgency in everything, in terms of just boom, 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 getting through your reads, in terms of making a decision, getting rid of the football, not taking sacks. Just that was the little difference there between those two guys. I think Justin Fields got a chance to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. So if I'm the Atlanta Falcons and I've got a quarterback going into his age 36 season, I don't think we're close to a championship. To me, it feels more like a teardown than a final missing piece to go get a Super Bowl.
But like you're in love with Trey Lance. If you work for the Jets, would you take Trey Lance?
That would be a really tough call. I ended up with Zach over Trey. Because of, I thought he was just more consistent as a thrower. And there's some, you get some wow with Zach Wilson as well. You get a little bit of sizzle with some of the stuff that he can do. But from the outside, not having a chance to visit with Zach, like I've met with Trey, I wish I would have had a chance to spend a lot of time around Zach. When you're with a team, I think that can be kind of the deciding factor in this. It's kind of how they come through that process. So I ended up with Zach, but man, it would if you're running a team, that would be the choice for me, those two guys.
Wow, that's interesting. I like that Jerry Jones said, hey, I'm not infatuated with Kyle Pitts, while being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. Could Dallas do something, you know, not crazy, but well, maybe it is because that team needs help on defense. But could you see Jerry Jones doing something a little goofy tonight?
I'm anxious to see if he gets spooked a little bit by the fact that the Eagles and the Giants are right behind him. And you've got the Eagles at 12 who do need a corner. The Cowboys, the need that jumps at you is the corner. You need an edge rusher, but there's not, I don't think there's one really to take there. So you're both chasing the same player. I would love to be, if Denver's not taking a quarterback, I had them taking Justin Fields. I had them just moving up to 7 and taking Fields. But if they are happy at quarterback and they want to roll with what they've got, oh my gosh, how fun would that be to play the Eagles and the Cowboys against each other, knowing they more than likely want the same player, to see if you can get a little extra for one of those teams to come up.
So you're talking about going after a defensive back.
I think it would be Surtain, yeah, would be my guess. That's, yeah, my guess is that's probably the target for the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Would you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Depending on where you are in the – look, the Patriots to me, and I don't know what they're going to do. I guess there's some reports out there saying they might do it.
Nobody knows what the Patriots are going to do.
That's a great point. That one, not knowing the inner dynamics of how his relationship was with Josh McDaniels and the crew there, the way Jimmy Garoppolo plays, provided he could, you know, stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to do, it matches the way the Patriots are built. I mean, they're offensive line driven, they're run game driven, their defense, special teams, protect the football, like kind of how Jimmy plays. So it makes sense from the outside. But again, I don't know how he's viewed in the building.
Yeah, I just wonder what he's worth. I know they said they want a first-round pick.
No, no chance.
You're not getting a first-round pick.
No chance. Yeah. I think you're looking – I'd be happy if you got a third-round pick.
Yeah.
It's the availability. How do you give up a high pick if you can't stay healthy?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some fascinating, you know, plot twists that could happen because all it takes is, you know, like you go back to Mitchell Trubisky. You know, like nobody saw that.
No.
I think you had him going to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no way. There's no way. And that's why I love tonight, man. It's fun. And I'm part of me was frustrated because like, God, I want to know what San Francisco is going to do. And then I'm like, you know what? It's more fun sitting up there on the desk when they're on the clock and you don't know what they're going to do.
Yes.
So I hope it remains a mystery when we get up to the start of the night.
Well, I want you to react the way we react because then it, you know, I've been involved in an NBA draft before and they said, do you want to know the pick when it's in? And I said, no, you know, all I want to know is right before the commissioner comes out, just tell me who it is. So I get my information. That was it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to react in real time. And there are times when I'm watching the draft where I get the feeling that the host might know what the pick is before the pick is, because then you'll go, I'm thinking maybe wide receiver or running back, and the pick is in, and they take a wide receiver, you know, and then you're going, okay.
The best, and we have a great group, and so I just remember watching this as a kid, so this is not with NFL Network, this is elsewhere, but it was, they're on the clock for 10 minutes, they need a receiver, it's a receiver, here's this receiver versus that receiver, and then oh, the pick is in. Would not be surprised this is an offensive line. Let's go to the podium and see what they do.
That's where somebody's in your ear going, offensive. It's offensive lineman. Lineman. Have fun tonight, and I'll probably text you during the show.
All right, Dan, see my shirt here real quick?
El Nino.
I mean,
okay.
Fernando Tatis fun to watch.
Okay, so you're on the bandwagon here.
Oh, Dan, I go back to watching Kilvio Varis, buddy. There's no bandwagon. I've been riding this thing for a long time.
Well, I go back to Mike Ivey.
Oh, nice. How about Dave Dravecki?
Poor Dave Dravecki.
I know.
Broke his arm. Yeah. Who else? Freddie Norman. Like, I go back to the early 70s of the Padres when they had those ugly uniforms. It looked like a bad diaper that you changed.
Call me, Dan, when you go to an opening day when there's Lynn, Wynn, and Gwynn in the outfield for the Padres.
Thank you, bud.
See you, buddy.
That's Daniel Jeremiah. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. The Chargers, Austin Eckler, had at least 500 yards rushing and at least 400 yards receiving in each of the last three seasons. The only other player to do that. You guys want to guess?
Walter Payton.
No. The only other player currently in each of the last three seasons.
It's like a tick I have.
Your answer is always Walter Payton?
Or Rush.
No matter what the question is. Yeah. Oh, I got in the car yesterday and Rush was on.
That's awesome, right?
No, it was okay.
No, I think you like it more than you say.
I used to, but I...
Oh, now that they're cool?
Yeah, I don't like a band that's cool. Like, I like them before they're cool. Like, nobody likes, you know, Rush and the album 2112, but I did.
Oh, because it was like long,
yes.
Instrumentals.
Yeah, so I was listening to Rush. Does anybody else like Rush, like Paulie does? Seton?
Do you mean in the room or in the world?
Wow. No, you can't leave, Paulie.
He's coming over to slug me.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of sense of humor.
Getty,
about that,
so. I know.
But, you know, I think Rush, you know, they were cool in the late 70s, and then they weren't cool enough to make MTV. So the early Rush fans, they never got worldwide gigantic. They weren't, you know, like Duran Duran or a MTV band. Yeah. So they always stayed with what they were.
All right, let's go back to my questions.
A little more about Rush?
Yeah. Anybody know the... Yes, McLovin.
Is it a Rush, and this is a running back question? Okay. I see what
a
you
rush, did. A rushing attack.
Alvin Kamara?
Yep, Alvin Kamara. That is your answer. As we make way for the Chargers running back, Austin Eckler. Austin, thanks for joining us. Before I get to you, I got to ask this question with the Danettes. All right, we do this occasionally. How much do you think Austin Eckler can bench? Todd, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say 325.
325. McLovin?
330.
330. Seton?
No offense, 310.
310. Ooh, not a good reaction from Austin there where I just saw that. Paulie?
He's yoked. I'm going 375.
375. I was going to go 375. I will go 380 for Austin Eckler. What's the most you've benched?
Okay, so the most I've ever maxed was 385.
But hello, winner, winner.
Hey, there you go, Dan.
Right there, winner, winner, chicken dinner. I haven't done it
in a while, but I mean, I could bench 315 probably four or five times right now. So whoever said 310, I'm hurt a little bit.
Is the 40-yard dash important? Like the time, how important is that? Well, you were undrafted. So how important did you think it was?
For me, I felt like all my numbers were very important just because I think people were trying to, as far as scouts, were trying to find what the heck made this guy go to Division II. You know, was it some physical attribute or was it like maybe some mental or like what the heck happened? So for me, I felt like it was the most important thing at the time when I was going through my draft process. It was just my 40 time to show that I can run at this level too.
But also, there's no pressure on you, but there is pressure. If you were a high draft pick and went to the Chargers, or that you're just trying to make the team, like, which one would be more pressure-filled, do you think?
I think it comes down to the individual. You know, I put as much pressure as anyone can ever put. There's no one that could ever put more pressure on me than I put on myself. And that's because I knew the importance of the opportunity and it really meant everything to me. And I was making sure that I was all in on the moment. And so I think it's situational.
My guys want to know if you have trap implants, like you're like, that looks like Herschel Walker. Those are real. Those are not implants, right?
Austin, yeah, this is a straight body right here.
That's okay. All right, don't make me take off my shirt. This isn't a competition here, Austin. That's not what we're doing here. Speaking of rivalry, how much of a rivalry do you feel with the Rams?
I don't feel any rivalry with the Rams. I can't focus on the Rams. I have too much to focus on with the Chargers and trying to build the community with us. And so I don't even spend one moment of my mental time thinking about the Rams.
You never think about the Rams. You've never gone, what did the Rams do?
No, I mean, the only time I would ever think about the Rams is if it's like, hey, do you guys want to do a community project together since we're in the same stadium, same area?
Okay, that's not exactly trash talk.
No. I'm not trying to trash talk. I'm trying to build here.
Cleaning up trash might be, but that's not exactly right. Trash talk there. Does anybody ever talk junk to you during a game?
No, not really. Not usually. I mean, I'm not out there talking junk either. I mean, I'm out there, you know, having a good time, playing some football, trying to make plays. And so, I mean, if someone's talking to me, I'm not going to just let them push me around, bully me. But for the most part, nah, it's pretty clean.
I was wondering that when you first got to the Chargers, you wore the number 3 in preseason. And I'm wondering with the single digit, are we going back?
And how much going back to the roots?
What do you think? AE3. What are you thinking?
I don't think I could do it. One, I'd have to buy all the inventory from the jerseys from the NFL, which I'm not doing. And then two, I've kind of established myself as, you know, number 30 on the Chargers. So I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What was it like first time you met Philip Rivers?
It was kind of just that moment of like, hey, man, like, you made it to the NFL. Like, these guys are legends here. Like, you know, there's been people that have been playing forever, people that have been in my shoes. And so it's kind of just made it more real to me. You know, it's something that you see on TV all the time, but now I'm being around these guys and been around the league for now. And it's like, now it's like more normalized. And so that's kind of what being around him, when I was around him, just around the team in general, you know, it just felt like surreal, and I was super nervous all the time. I remember being in my first huddle. I threw up. Like, I literally had to come out of my first huddle because I was so nervous because I cared so much. I literally had to come out and went and threw up behind everyone.
Wait. What did your teammates think? Is this normal that guys get nervous and, you know, barf in the huddle?
Probably not. It wasn't in the huddle. I literally was just feeling sick, and I just pulled myself out and then went and threw up behind everybody.
Now, Philip Rivers said the first time that he met you, he had all of his children there.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't realize that they were all his children.
Right. Yeah, I was walking, like, it was like after practice. And the day was done, and I was just like walking through, and he just had all these like little kids with him. You know, and I knew nothing about it. I was just like, oh, what's up, Philip? You know, and then I just kept walking, and I was like, dang, you see Philip? Like, he's got like some type of like little group with him, like maybe like showing him around the facility or something like that. Like, so I was eating lunch and like, no, someone's like, no, that's his family, man. I was like, no, what? Like, wait a minute. What? Like, there was that many kids. There was too many kids though. They must have some friends or something. It's like, no, he's got a lot of kids. I was like, oh my God. I thought he was literally just doing like a little meet and greet, like some of the youth from the area or something.
Oh my God. Do you care? Are you going to watch the draft?
I'm going to watch the first round, and then I'll keep up with who the Chargers pick up, because that's who I really care about as far as, you know, what's relevant to me.
When did you know that Justin Herbert was for real?
Shoot, probably his second or third game in, when he continued to make plays. After his first game, it was like, okay, like, this man showed some talent and showed that he can actually run out here and hang with the best of them. You know, we played the Chiefs' first game, we were up by 15 points, you know, and then Mahomes did his thing and brought him back in. But after those first three games, like, this guy is consistent, man. He's making plays, you know, he's smart with the ball, he's making plays with his feet and throwing it down the field. Because we couldn't tell in training camp, because we didn't have any preseason, we didn't have any like live reps, live situations. So you don't know really what a guy has until it's like, hey, the pressure is all the way turned on.
But he's very low key, very chill.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I love that man. I love that he's ready to come in, ready to work, wants to come in, hang out with the boys, and play some football.
Yeah, you go from Philip Rivers, who was fiery and yelling at everybody.
So Philip wasn't yelling at everybody. Just on game day, he was yelling at everybody, mainly the refs and mainly the other team.
Well, good luck. Have fun tonight. With your event, the Gridiron Gaming Group Draft Day event, NFL players, athletes, celebrities reacting to their team's draft picks, twitch.tv/AustinEckler, and the stream begins at 8 Eastern tonight. Austin, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
That's the Chargers' Austin Eckler. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's Trey Lance of my North Dakota State Bison. It's not Bisons, it's Bison. And he joins us on behalf of Old Spice, committed to helping guys build confidence and empowering them to reach their full potential. And you can learn more about how to help Big Sisters of America help draft the next generation of mentors and more than 30,000 youth waiting to be matched up with a big at bigdraft21.com. Trey Lance joining us on the program. Trey, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I know you got a brother who's a pretty good football player. Your dad was a pretty good football player. How good was dad? How much does dad tell you about how good dad was?
Thank you for having me first. I guess I've been a fan of the show for a really long time. This is exciting. My dad, he'll put on the tape, the VCR tape. We actually have an old little TV that his VCR tape got stuck in. And he refuses to throw the TV away because the highlight tape is in there.
So he played small college, Southwest Missouri State, and then he went to the Oilers, the Niners, and then he played, what, Canadian Football League?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so he played at Southwest Minnesota State. It's in Marshall, Minnesota, where I grew up. Oilers, 49ers, Saskatchewan Roughriders in the CFL, and then London Monarchs.
Ooh, London Monarchs. Now, you could follow your dad and end up with the 49ers.
That is, I understand that.
Are you sweating? Do you need some Old Spice there?
I got some Old Spice.
Okay, you don't have to tell me where you're going, but do you know where you're going?
I honestly do not, and I wish I did. I wish I could be like, you know, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. I wish I could tell you that right now.
Okay. Because we keep hearing the Niners aren't sure about Mac Jones and you. What have the Niners told you?
Just about the same thing as everyone else, honestly. Not a whole lot. Just have gotten to know me, had Zooms, and obviously gotten to know football. But that's about it.
If you could ask the Niners a question, what would you ask?
I would ask them if they're going to draft me.
Your favorite team growing up was who?
Never was a diehard, I guess, NFL guy at all. But Vikings, I was, you know, a Minnesota guy, obviously, growing up. So, like, AP, Brett Favre, those days were the prime for me.
Who plays the position the way you do, like former quarterback? Is there somebody that you look at and say, that's who I modeled my game after?
I try not to put myself in the box of one guy, just because anyone I'm going to say has obviously done really, really well in the league. For me, obviously, I watch a ton of football, watch a ton of quarterbacks. I watch Russell Wilson, Dak, you know, Deshaun, Carson. Those are probably some of the biggest ones that I watch. But, yeah, I try not to, you know, I'll leave it to you to give me the comparison.
I don't know if there is a comparison. I always get nervous when we try to compare because, you know, you start to look at somebody physically. I don't know what you're like mentally other than what somebody has told me that you're very bright, not just football bright. But you know, you got a sense of humor, you're not afraid of contact, you know, that they were trying to make you a defensive back or a linebacker. Isn't that crazy though? When you look back, you could be a top five pick and somebody wanted to make you a linebacker or a defensive back or a wide receiver, I believe too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it all works out how it's supposed to. You know, I believe I'm right where I'm supposed to be. But yeah, it is kind of crazy looking back, and obviously I'm glad I believed in myself, and I think that's what's gotten me to this point. So I'm not going to change that.
Okay. I was told you were working out with Tom House's group, with John Beck, and you were working on your mechanics. Explain to me what you were working on.
Yeah, their biggest thing, got the opportunity to work out there with those guys and learned a ton and got to throw with, you know, a ton of guys. But their biggest thing for me is just focusing on weight shift and using my lower body, not only when I need to. My biggest thing was, you know, I didn't let my legs get in the way of my throwing, but now it's using it to my advantage, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think when you get to this next level, everybody's got talent, but can you throw somebody open? You know, the information that comes in from the sidelines into the huddle, like those are things that can you, how do you practice those things?
Yeah, I mean, learning is, I think, a skill. Just being at North Dakota State and learning our offense, I learned, you know, how to learn and learn how to learn football. So I think that'll, you know, a huge advantage for me as far as just coming in and being able to learn a new offense, ask the right questions, and be able to compete. You know, you can't compete if you don't know what you're doing. But yeah, I think that time at North Dakota State was invaluable for me.
Who gave you the best advice so far?
My offensive coordinator, his name's Coach Roll. He's my offensive coordinator. His best piece of advice that, you know, he says, we say back and forth to each other, is show up early, outwork everyone, and make everyone around you better.
Where are you going to be tonight?
I'm in Cleveland right now. So I'm going to be in the green room with family and spend some time. Obviously, get to hang out with them today a little bit. But yeah, really excited for, obviously, the opportunity.
But you're a competitor. Is Trevor Lawrence better than you?
I mean, I don't believe so, but he's going to tell you the same exact thing, and every guy in this draft class will tell you the same exact thing. He's super talented. Obviously, I think this draft class is going to be really, really special, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, because you have to have confidence in you. Like Zach Wilson. You think you're better than Zach Wilson, right?
Yeah, and we were just at breakfast this morning, and he'll tell you the same exact thing.
Did you say to him at breakfast, hey, I'm better than you?
No, I didn't. But okay. I mean, like I said, he would say the same exact thing.
Okay, here's a really important question, and I hope you'll give it great thought. What are you wearing tonight? Because this lasts forever. When we talk about Trey Lance, and we do a big feature on Trey Lance, and they'll show you with the commissioner, and what are you wearing tonight?
I can't tell you what color the suit is.
Oh, come on. You're not going North Dakota State colors.
I'm not going to tell you. I gotta leave you, you know, I need you to, this way I know if I don't tell you, you'll at least look it up to check me out, you know?
Okay.
So this way I can guarantee that you're going
to
see it.
Okay, now I'm going to watch the draft. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to tune in.
Yes.
Well, how long do I have to watch before I see you in your suit? Like, how long do you think it is before you get up on stage?
You'll probably see it before the draft starts, I would imagine.
Oh, no. Then I got to watch the pre-show. You didn't say that. You said the draft. Now,
you might have to look on Twitter, something like that.
Okay, when the commissioner calls your name, handshake, hug, bro hug, other, chest bump.
Hey, chest bump is still in. It's an option. The chest bump is an option.
You know what?
But I'm thinking probably hug. That's more my style.
Because if you take down the commissioner,
yeah, that might be an issue.
No. It'd be great. Like, you're so excited that if you did a chest bump with the commissioner, knocked him down.
We might have to plan something like that.
No. All right, let me see how you're doing as a pitch man here, because Peyton Manning set the bar really high on quarterbacks, you know, being pitchmen. So let me hear your pitch for Old Spice.
Yeah, so I'm super excited and honestly proud to be partnered with Old Spice. Everything they're doing, their partnership with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America, you know, putting the spotlight on mentorship. And for me, I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today without all the mentors in my life, whether it was coaches, you know, older players, or just people in the communities that I've grown up in. So their, you know, commitment to helping guys in the younger generation build confidence and reach their true potential through mentorship is something that I value. And I think that's why I'm so proud to be partnered with an organization like this. And obviously you can check out more at bigdraft21.com.
And look, you know, you wouldn't even know you were reading that. You delivered it so well. But see, that's just an inside. Somebody who's on TV, I understand it, Trey. See, if I'm a defensive back, I'm reading your eyes right now, and that's not good. I might have.
I got a cheat sheet. I'm not going to lie to you.
But I'm surprised you didn't have it on your wristband, like your cheat sheet.
That's for next time.
All right. Hey, good luck. Great story. Make sure you hug, you know, the family, because they help get you there, and let them know how much they mean to you as well, because it's going to happen so quickly and you're going to be going in a million different directions. But good luck, okay?
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that's Trey Lance.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.